Welcome to Everywhere and Nowhere, a Sheffield Wednesday podcast brought to you by The Star, with Joe Cran, Alex Miller, and your host, Chris Holt. The mood has been lifting at Sheffield Wednesday over recent weeks, with matters on the pitch and some terrific performances indicating that this side has plenty of quality to steer themselves away from relegation. But if there's one thing we know about Sheffield Wednesday is that they always have an almost unique way of shooting themselves in the foot. On this occasion, it's the manager at fault with a rare lapse of judgment as he admits the club are interested in signing Nicholas Schulz. A good footballer, no doubt, but one that until earlier this week had a court case hanging over him with regards to a domestic assault charge. Discussing that and more, this is Everywhere and Nowhere. Welcome to Everywhere and Nowhere, me Chris Holt, and joining us as usual, Alex Miller and Joe Cran. Quite somber, really. We like to keep things light around here with regards to what's going on at the club and concentrate, hopefully, on matters on the pitch. But unfortunately, sometimes the news agenda takes that away from us. And today, as we spoke about last week on the show, today we had it confirmed with Nico Schulz's court case all but finishing yesterday that Danny Royal is indeed interested in bringing the player to the club. Joe, if you and Alex both were in the press conference earlier when Danny spoke about this, if you could just give us a little bit of an indication into what it is that he actually did say.
First things first, I suppose, was the fact that he was full of praise for the way that Nico Schulz has applied himself since coming in at Wednesday. He spoke about the levels that he was at, the commitment that he'd shown, the way that he'd sort of slotted into matters at Wednesday. He spoke a lot about how they were surprised at how good he looked in terms of how long it's been since he played competitive football. It's obviously been a long time since he last kicked a ball in a proper game. Alex and I both asked him about the situation that surrounds him. And he just kind of, he suggested to Alex that he would, you know, that would be something that they would discuss if and when he became a Sheffield Wednesday player. To me, he kind of said that the thing with Schulz was that he was a very good footballer that would help Sheffield Wednesday achieve their goals at the end of the season.
If you wouldn't mind, just giving us a bit of a recap, this was yesterday that the court case finished, yesterday being Wednesday. If you could just give us a little bit of a quick idea of what actually happened there in the court case, which of course was in Germany, so it's their judicial system's a little bit different than ours.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not going to profess to be a legal expert on any legal matters, let alone German ones. My understanding was that he was charged with three counts of grievous bodily harm to an ex-partner. The reports in the German media said that payments had been made before the trial, and then basically he was told he could pay a €150,000 fine, I think it was, or donations, as it might be, to five charities, five different charities. That's €30,000 each, including women's charities in there. So that's the case. And I think it was 3 months he had to pay that. And then if that was the case, then the case would be discontinued.
And what then has been the reaction on your social media today and just from speaking to people over the past kind of week or so since we found out that he had been at the club and again today since Danny has indicated that the club are interested in signing him?
It's been kind of as you'd expect, really. It's been very split. There's a lot of people sort of saying, you know, he's not been found guilty of anything, so as long as that's the case, then, you know, if he helps the club, he helps the club. There's also a lot of people looking at the scenario of how things have played out and said that they, you know, they wouldn't want him anywhere near the football club. So it is very, very split in that sense. And I think that it's going to continue to be that. I think you're going to have that split in the fan base of, especially with it, like I say, with it having played out without a guilty verdict or an innocent verdict, there is no way to really draw a line under it.
You both asked Danny what he felt the reaction from the fans would be. Here is what he exactly said in the press conference today when you put that question to him.
Given the situation surrounding him and what's gone on, how much do you take that into account and, you know, the potential backlash that could come from fans if Wednesday were to sign him?
Yeah, I think for my final decision, it's about, I'm looking at the moment really to the quality on the pitch, yeah. And that was important for me that I saw Nico last week with all the things. He was great on the pitch. He showed how strong he is. We did a little bit of test to look how is his body. He was well. And yeah, again, I come back. Yeah, he was immediately committed to our players. And I think it's also not normal when you have a player who comes new in that you have this relationship immediately. And it was a good signal for me. And yeah, now let's have a look what we can do in the next days. Yeah. And then for me, it's really the focus to have a high quality player on my squad and then to go forward in the last 8-9 weeks.
Alex, what I will say from the start here is that Danny Rowland speaking in a second language where nuance is going to be difficult. However, it is difficult as well to think anything else other than Danny Rowe believes that a footballer's ability trumps anything else that's going on. And that's what I'm taking from those words. Is that fair enough?
I'd say so. Look, this isn't a Danny Rowe thing or a Sheffield Wednesday thing. There's the old Gordon Strachan clip at one of the World Cups, isn't there, that does the rounds whenever something like this comes up in that. Let's have it right. If Nico Schultz was a 16-year-old, fairly promising academy player, there's a good chance he wouldn't play football again. But he's clearly a very talented German international, and he can help in a big way on the pitch in terms of Sheffield Wednesday staying up. So he gets a pass. I was thinking about my words there, but you know it is. And this is the way, you know, you look at Jim Ratcliffe weighing up whether Mason Greenwood goes to Manchester United. Look, at the end of the day, people that do wrong, this is clearly the nature of it is stomach turning and very emotive, and it means a lot to an awful lot of people who've, not only people who've had this sort of thing happen in their family or to people that they know, but the nature of it is clearly very emotive. People who do wrong have to still function in society. Now, the people that don't, obviously that's what prison's for. Now, obviously football is a unique industry in that people are role models and that it is the centre of a community and all this sort of thing. And yeah, look, it doesn't sit well with me. It's not a move I would have even considered. I think I said to Joe, you know, when it became clear that Wednesday were looking for a free agent left back, you know, looking down the list of who might be available, that's one that I sort of went, oh, look at, you know, that German, obviously a good player available. That's one that makes sense. Then I looked at the nature of why he hasn't played in such a long time and foolishly cast it to the side and think, you know, Wednesday wouldn't touch him with a barge pole. It's the recency of it as well. You know, if this was someone that had done what he's done 2 years ago and there'd been a period of rehabilitation, as they say, and work with certain charities and education, all the rest of it, then, you know, you can make a better argument for it. It's not something that sits well with me, but as I say, I don't see it as a an issue that's individual to Sheffield Wednesday. It's an issue that football's got. If people are good players a lot of the stuff can be pushed to the side pretty quickly.
At what point then? I do get what you're saying, but Sheffield Wednesday could very easily say, no, we're not having this.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, I'm not, like I say, it doesn't sit well with me at all, but it's a results game, and rightly or wrongly, I would suggest wrongly. These people are under a lot of pressure to get results, and the tipping scale ends up going one way over the other.
I don't know whether it's just, I don't want to be stereotypical on top of everything else, but Danny just seemed very matter of fact about it, which kind of shocked me a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's, look, I'm surmising here, and as you say, you know, it is second language and all the rest of it, but he quite possibly sees himself as a football manager that's paid to get results, and Nico Schultz can help do that. Again, it's not something that sits well with me at all, and I doubt we'll get the opportunity to interview him at any stage this season, but if the deal does go through, and it is still an if, but he a couple of things that he said sort of sounded as if he was pretty hopeful that there will be questions asked of the club, and quite possibly in the national media as well. That brings something else. You know, this is a club with an owner that's spoken about fans on social media being negative and driving down the image of the club, and that costing them sponsors. Well, this sort of signing completely cedes any right to say that sort of thing, because the PR storm that may well come with this, if it goes ahead, if I was a sponsor and all the rest of it, you look at that above any disappointed or frustrated comments on Twitter.
Joe, given the controversies that Sheffield Wednesday have found themselves in this year, as much as anything else, it seems surprising that they'd be willing to put themselves in this position. You know, we're talking about a club that early on this season has seen their fans, a couple of fans involved in tragedy bathing against Sunderland when they, you know, they held up pictures of Bradley Lowry. And that, certainly one of them was prosecuted for that. We've also had an incident of out-and-out racism amongst the supporters in very recent times. Again, there's been a charge against the fan there. Bad news is following Wednesday already. I would put it to them that it would do them no harm to try and push themselves away from controversy rather than welcome evermore.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it, isn't it? They don't need it. They don't need the extra, like Alex said, they don't need the extra eyes on him, the extra negativity on him. And this will come with that. There will be plenty of people who are pro the signing. You know, that comes, you know, that goes without saying. But yeah, it is definitely something that they could probably do without. I'm sure if he comes in and does well, then there will be people saying that it's worth the bad PR. And that is just the nature of society now.
Unfortunately, you're absolutely right. And football, once again, showing that nothing else matters apart from results. We'll move on to other aspects of Sheffield Wednesday and matters on the pitch. We're coming off the back of another good performance and going into a derby this weekend, which is hugely important, but one that Wednesday are very much doing so in very good form. Alex, you were there last week. How were they?
Yeah, they were good. It wasn't the blistering first half, and then I was going to say, it wasn't as good a win as Millwall. I sound like really miserable here. Wednesday have just won three of the last four, and I'm starting off by saying it wasn't that good. It was a fantastic win. To concede out of nowhere to a degree for Bristol City to equalise, and then get the noses ahead. And then in the last, I'd say 20 minutes, they sort of withheld a lot of pressure. That pressure went up, you know, when Deshaun Bernard was sent off with, I think, 12 or 13 minutes to go. And yeah, they withheld it and they were good. You know, there were some really good performances. They were blistering down the right-hand side for a good hour of the game. Liam Palmer sort of overlapping with Paul Valentin. Jan Poveda sort of dropping wide as well to pick up the ball. So the three of them are developing a really, really strong understanding. And it's funny, you know, there's times where you look at Wednesday in this little run that they've had, and you're watching the game and people like Poveda picking up the ball and doing certain things that he's doing and Ugbo putting away chances. And they genuinely look like a team that's very much in the top half. You know, some of the teams that we've seen come to Hillsborough and swagger around and hammer Wednesday. And Wednesday have got that about them. And friend of the pod, Peter Lerman, put something together where it showed the league table since the start of December. I know if my auntie had wheels, she'd be a bike or whatever, but it does show the story of where Wednesday are going into the final stage of the season. You know, if you can, the league table doesn't, but if you can disregard the nightmarish start to the season, there's big optimism there. If they can keep everyone fit and they can keep going, I think this weekend's really big. I think anything less than a win would feel pretty dramatic. Despite the fact it's going to be a very, very tough game. But yeah, there were moments there on Saturday that just sort of continued the theme that it doesn't necessarily feel, touch wood, crossing fingers, everything, like it's a flash in the pan sort of thing.
Joe, Alex has just reminded me of something that I kind of felt last week whenever I was looking at the table and looking at how, just watching highlights of Wednesday's match against Bristol City, where this might sound odd, it almost equates a little bit to Everton in a little way in the Premier League, where Everton are performing, not so much in recent weeks, but they have been performing a lot better, almost because of the points deduction that they had. It almost feels a little bit like Sheffield Wednesday have had a points deduction and they're trying to claw their way back. That points deduction being brought on by their own disastrous appointment in, I forgot his name there, Munoz.
I did wonder where you were going with that.
No, well, do you know what I mean? It kind of feels like just kind of claw back something that's been taken away from them.
It does.
Almost as if it was like unfair.
Yeah, it does kind of feel like a lot of the people involved have seen it that way as well. They've almost taken it on board as a points deduction. They're working against trying to overcome this horrendous start. You know, they don't beat around the bush when you talk about that period. You know, talking to Will Volks today and him sort of saying, I think I said it about the tough start to the season and he kind of just laughed. It's sort of saying, yeah, tough is an understatement. But yeah, it does. It feels like they're up against it, and they've got that little bit of. They seem to be having that bit of fights back, and it's just really nice to see. Especially with, you know, obviously you've got players like Jan Poveda and Paul Valentin, who's been great the last few weeks. But we've mentioned him before, like Liam Palmer's ability to just like go, no matter who the manager is, at some point in time they just go, oh yeah, he's quite useful, him. And he ends up playing in various different positions. Like the way that Danny was talking about him in the press conference, he's like, yeah, he's a right centre-back, but he's also sort of an overlapping right-back slash central midfielder slash number six. So that's quite useful to have. So like everyone's sort of playing the part now. The old boys who have been here, you know, Bannon's really stepped up again. But then you've got these new lads. Ike Ogbo's been superb. So it just seems like a real collective effort of everyone going, look, everyone's written us off here. Let's show them that, you know, we've got something there. And look, we've all seen the tables of what, you know, what it had looked like if, you know, we just took the table from when Danny came in, and if we just took it from the new year, if we just took it from the last 10 games, whatever it is, they're all in favour of Sheffield Wednesday staying up. So they don't really need to do anything different. They just, over the next 12 games, they just need to keep doing what they're doing, and you would back them to finish higher than the other teams down there.
Would you back them, Alex?
I think so. I think the form over a number of months now sort of suggests that it can be done. It's 3 points. I think fitness is a big thing. I think there's some really key players there that make it all tick. And just taking one piece out of that jigsaw would be fairly devastating. But look, we sat here, 3 weeks ago, singing the last rites on Wednesday's survival bid, and they've proved us wrong, and it can flip-flop either way.
Yeah, after Huddersfield, I was like, no, they're done, because I am apparently still a Fickle fan at heart, and I can't help myself.
Yeah, but right here, right now, I do. I think Wednesday will stay up.
Two of the teams above, I mean, I don't want to say that Rotherham are all but down, but they probably are. The teams above have changed a little in the past few weeks. QPR are obviously still there, but it's hard to really pick up a couple of decent, a few decent points since they got rid of Darren Moore, ironically. Millwall and Stoke are the two teams now. Stoke are now doing what we said Millwall were doing a couple of weeks ago and have sleepwalked their way into relegation.
They've both kind of snuck up on it, haven't they? Like, you know, like you wouldn't really think of a team sneaking up on you when you're getting worse.
No, well, I think everybody was just watching QPR and Huddersfield for so long that these other two teams just kind of got worse without anybody noticing.
Yeah, and I think that now it's... I think Danny said it, hadn't he, about, you know, focusing on yourself, and it is a cliche, but given the way Wednesday are playing at the moment and the results they're picking up, I do, as much as you look, you know, after a good win against Bristol City, you look at the results and you go, oh, they've won. And it's a little bit disheartening. But when you've got the sort of semi-consistency that Wednesday have managed to find since Danny came in, you've just got to, like I say, back yourself over X amount of games to pick up more points than them. It's not about that day and that one being a bad one. As Alex said, Rotherham's massive because it's the morale of it all that comes with that game. As the only team in the division that's actually below you, you know, it's the one game when Wednesday fans can go, we're actually favourites here. Like, we are, you know, in the league table, we are favourites to get a result. So to not get a result would come as a major blow. But yeah, I think it's been interesting the way that the Championship's played out. It just shows that it's an absolutely mad league. I think there was at one point the other day, I don't know if it finished that way, but I think like only one of the bottom 12 was losing, something stupid like that. It's the best league in the world. Like I know that people, like, obviously it's not as good as the Premier League quality wise, but as a division, the Championship's unbeaten, man. It's just a superb division.
Is it?
That's all I'm here for.
I agree totally. And if Sheffield Wednesday can manage to maintain their position in the Championship and perhaps maybe someday have loftier ambitions, then that would just be great.
Yeah, I do have to say that my press conference with Danny Rill today started off with him saying there's pressure on you for the weekend because you've missed the last two and we won them both. So he's aware of that. And now I may have promised that if we lose that I won't go to another game this season. I've told him he's got to tell you that, though, because I won't get away with it.
Well, I'm not going, as you quite rightly said on another podcast this week, that I've got other things to be getting on with. So.
Dom Alson's thrown me under a bus with that one as well. I need to have a word with him.
We will now look a little bit more, I won't say forensically, because we're not that kind of show, but we'll look a little bit more at Saturday's match against Rotherham. Listen, they're always, in the absence of, shall we say, the big derby, which doesn't really come around that often, games against Rotherham are as close as we get to a proper derby game. And they're always absolutely full of incident and action and controversy and all manner of things. It is genuinely, I know we kind of, not we, we don't, but the fan, Sheffield Wednesday's fan base will have a joke about this being Rotherham's cup final and all that kind of thing. But in their heart of hearts, they're probably thinking, this is one that they'll always look for this fixture, won't they? It's one that they'll always be looking forward to, particularly going there to the New York Stadium, because it's a really nice small ground. Wednesday will fill that entire end, and it makes for an absolutely brilliant atmosphere there.
Well, Alex, when we when Florian Camberi scored that goal when we last played them at Rotherham, the scenes in the away end certainly didn't look like a team that weren't that bothered about it.
Yeah, well, I remember, and this is going back a fair bit now, whenever not long after I first started covering Wednesday, I was there for a very, very late 2-1 win for Wednesday at Rotherham, in which I think Kieran Lee scored a late winner.
You got a shirt for that, didn't I?
Well, it was a match where I think Rotherham equalised very late on themselves, and then Wednesday basically went up the other end and scored a winner with Steve Evans waddling down, having celebrated at the far end, waddled back to his seat just in time to see Wednesday score. I'm pretty sure it was Kieran Lee.
I think you're right. Where Miller Keller came from, wasn't it?
There's been a few, because I think there was a League Cup game. It was David Bates' only game for Sheffield Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
And Wednesday scored by that one. I can't remember.
Barnsley? Domi Offa's debut, he scored a late equaliser on his debut, didn't he?
I think Stephen Fletcher scored a fairly late winner against them in a Friday night match I think it was the second playoff season. Wednesday had been on a bit of a bad run at that point, and they needed the win to try and keep themselves in the mix.
Yeah, for the sake of not being too biased, there was also the game in the relegation season when they scored very late and kind of ruined everything.
Yeah, I still maintain that my tweet that night just summed up Sheffield Wednesday, and when I basically said Rotherham United have just scored from Sheffield Wednesday's corner.
Izzy Brown will never recover from that in the Sheffield Wednesday fan base.
And to be honest, he probably shouldn't, because it was in fairness, it was a shambles of a performance all in, and it just summed up Sheffield Wednesday at that moment in time, and probably not quite far off it neither. Kind of managing to pull a reputation back into place. We've reminisced quite a lot there. A couple of weeks ago, I saw a tweet where somebody said you can get men together and they'll just call out footballers' names and it'll last for hours. We've just done that with random football matches against Rotherham.
Yeah.
But yes, having said all of that, it is going to be, it should well be another exciting, dramatic encounter.
I hope it's not too exciting. I haven't got the nerves for it. This season's taken enough out of me as it is. Quite like just a 2-0 victory, so I'm not going into the last 10 minutes worrying about what's going to happen.
It's not going to be that way.
It won't happen. Absolutely won't happen.
No, Alex, you're not with us this weekend. Say not with us. You're not with Joe. As Joe rightly said, I'm the big boss now and I've got other things to do.
I feel like I've made a great error here.
You're not going to be there, but still... I mean, they're going, as much as anything else, they're going to be really up for it, and I think when part of what Sheffield Wednesday fans are always worried about, I think, is that while they know it's important, even if they don't admit it, I'm not sure they feel that the players realise how big a deal this one is. I think that's what sometimes brings in that little bit of jeopardy into it.
Yeah. Will Volk certainly does.
Volk would find something to, in any match whatsoever that he could dig out to say, "Oh, I want to get at these in here," because 145 games ago this happened.
Yeah, you're not wrong. But I'll be honest, lads, I've got fears over this one a little bit. I just think the season that Rotherham have had, this is their...
Say it. It's the cup final. You can say it.
I actually wasn't going to say that. But seeing as you put it like that, it's the biggest game of their season anyway, isn't it? But it feels like their last chance to give their supporters a little day in the sunshine. And yeah, it'll be bouncing there. It's a small crowd, obviously, but it makes a bit of noise on the day that Wednesday come. I know that from experience. I'm gutted I'm missing it. I missed two more games between now and the end of the season. It's Rotherham and Leeds, and I'm absolutely gutted the way that the fixtures have fallen.
That's bad planning on everybody's part.
Well, I didn't organise my nan's 90th, and I didn't organise the stag do. So, yeah, unfortunately. But yeah, I'll be watching from afar.
That's it for us this week on Everywhere and Nowhere. We'll be back next week to reflect on Saturday's match against Rotherham. And again, look ahead to what is another huge, huge match at Hillsborough when Leeds come to town. In fact, there's a match in between that, which I've just realised as well. There's a midweek match against...
Plymouth. Yeah.
Plymouth. I'm just going to keep this little piece of paper that I've got right beside me here just so that I can remember for the future. So, yeah, a few big games coming up. We'll be back to reflect and look forward to them on next week's show. Join us again. Thanks, Joe, and thanks, Alex. We'll see you next week.